Trinity Sunday has always been a day of transitions in my mind. 13 Trinity Sundays ago, I was a young curate preparing to deliver my first sermon in my first parish. 3 years after that, I was an associate rector heading off to say goodbye as I went to be rector of my own parish. A few years after that, I was saying goodbye to a curate turned associate rector as they were leaving. And last Trinity Sunday, I was just a couple weeks on from having found out that I was coming here to interview in person. But back to that first Trinity Sunday, 13 Sundays ago. To prepare for this sermon, the rector and I went out into the parish garden for me to rehearse and for him to fire footballs at my head while I did so. Now, I'm not sure the footballs helped. I didn't drop one, mind you. But he kept, in between throwing the football at me, asking the question, "What is the point of your sermon?" Which was a fair question. I was young. And it was Trinity Sunday, and I was convinced that I needed to gently but firmly remove any heretical descriptions of the Trinity from the minds of the hearer. The good news for them is that I had a rector who cared enough to convince me otherwise. But if we're honest, the doctrine of the Trinity is complicated, which is why I think it's true. Because if it wasn't true, we would have ditched it a long time ago. Anything that difficult to explain isn't worth keeping around if it isn't true. And all the best analogies for it have been declared heresies by the Church Catholic. Water, ice, vapor, it's the heresy of modalism, sorry. The sun, it's heat and light, well, that's the ancient heresy of Arianism. St. Patrick's beloved three-leaf clover, yet again another heresy. The simplest description that the Church has ever come up with for the Trinity is roughly 700 words long. I read about half of it to the Bible study group the other morning before their eyes started to glaze over. Well, there's a lovely YouTube video called St. Patrick's Bad Analogies. And in it, after several unsuccessful attempts to describe the Trinity to a couple of Irish farmers, St. Patrick exasperatedly shouts at them, "The Trinity is a mystery which cannot be comprehended by human reason, but is best understood only through faith and is best confessed in the words of the Athanasian Creed, which states that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, that we are compelled by the Christian truth to confess that each distinct person is God and Lord, and that the deity of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-equal in majesty." To which the farmers respond, "Well, why didn't you say so, Patrick?" Now, you may be asking me the same question my rector asked me all those years ago. What's the point? Well, the point is this. The doctrine of the Trinity at its core is a doctrine about right relationship. We may be able to recite the Athanasian Creed from memory, but that matters very little if we do not know the love of God and share it with the world. A proper understanding of the Trinity matters not at all if we are not regular in worship and service. Being able to verbally express the complexity of the Trinity is worthless if we are not in relationship with the least, the lost, and the left behind. At the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, we encounter Jesus in the 11, and he says to them on the day of resurrection, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go, make, baptize, teach, do not despair. This is the fivefold commandment Jesus gives to those who are gathered, and this is his fivefold commandment to us. Go. We have to go out from here. We have to engage with the world and our local community. We cannot hide in our big, pretty stone building and tell ourselves that we are being disciples of Jesus Christ. Out there is where we are called to be. Go. Make. We are called to make disciples of all nations, which means we cannot spend our days in the company of those who look like and think like and believe like and love like we do. It means being in the company of those we don't know, those who make us feel uncomfortable, those we find difficult. We do not make disciples by beating people over the head with our superior intellect or our pure ideologies. We make disciples by being with them, by loving them, by showing them our faith through our deeds. Make. Baptize. Baptism is our initiation rite. When we baptize, we welcome others fully into our household, into the household of God, but more than into a household, into a body, into the body of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a physical act that symbolizes spiritual rebirth into new life, a new life that we are called to spend not as the world would teach us, but as Jesus shows us. Humility, meekness, calm, truth, steadfastness, passion, grace, strength, and courage, these are the markers of a life spent in imitation of Jesus Christ. Baptize. Teach. Isn't it interesting that Jesus commands the disciples and us to teach after we baptize? Almost as if he's saying to us to worry less about the heresy and begin with love and relationship and community, and right belief will flow forward from those. Proper instruction in the intimacies of the Trinity will only matter if we live in a manner that is reflective of the relationship that exists within the Trinity, separate yet inseparable. United yet unique, dependent yet self-sufficient, perfectly alone yet only perfect together. Yes, it is important to believe correctly, but it is more important to love. Teach. Do not despair. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. There are and there will continue to be times when it seems that Jesus' promise to be with us always is false. We will despair. We will hunger. We will thirst. If we follow him closely, we will be beaten and hated, and we will choose the wrong things again and again and again. But the promise that Christ remains with us is and was and ever shall be true. Even on those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, Christ is with us. That is the truth. Do not despair. Go, make, baptize, teach, do not despair. These are the pillars of our common life. Through living out these commands, the particular and unique truths of Christianity will be made manifest before the eyes of the world. Keep going, keep making, keep baptizing, keep teaching, keep hoping. And when faced with difficulties, rely on the resilience and boldness of this community. Go, make, baptize, teach, do not despair. For my second and final point this morning, I will turn to the words of the apostle. Finally, sisters, farewell. Today we say goodbye to our assistant rector, Patricia Rose, and our sacred music intern, Carolyn Hoff. These two incredible women have loved and served this community for the last several years. It has been a joy and a privilege to labor in the vineyard with them. Goodbyes are hard to say. Yet the reality of a Trinitarian life is that we have been knit together in a bond that can never be broken. Thank you, Patricia, for the gifts that you have offered this community. Thank you, Carolyn, for the beauty that you have brought to our worship. We love you both, and we will miss you. Farewell, my friends. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.